Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
Crowd appreciates the effort. And the Bruins getting back into better form. 3-0-1 in the last four. Marchand, career goal number 399. Ullmark, another win.
Welcome into Sunday Skate. As Sean McDonough just said there at the end of the ABC broadcast yesterday, Bruins getting back into form. 3-0-1 week. Two big wins over Toronto. Big 5-1 win over Pittsburgh on Saturday. Ultimately did blow the game against Edmonton on Tuesday, second night of a back-to-back, but held them to one goal in regulation. Top five offense. Four straight games that they have allowed just one goal in regulation. We'll be discussing that. We'll be talking trade deadline, obviously. They made two additions. Pat Maroon up front, Andrew Peak on defense. Rumors of other big moves, including Linus Ullmark, which we'll get into. He talked about that quite a bit yesterday. I'm Scott McLaughlin. Bridget Prue is here. Andrew Raycroft will be along shortly. Big game for his daughter this morning, so we'll get an update on that, too, when he arrives.
Yeah, playoff games, right? Playoffs this morning, 8 a.m. start.
That's yeah.
An early start.
I know, you gotta get them in. Yeah, Jim Montgomery was racing out of TD Garden yesterday to get to his son's playoff game. So, yeah, it is that time of year for youth hockey.
Also, on this, like, daylight savings morning, it really feels more like 7 when your game starts at 8. And so anybody who's listening to us, have a cup of coffee and help yourself wake up, because I'm in that mood right now too, where I'm like, my eyes are, I gotta try to keep them open. I'm not adjusted yet.
I was thankful that it was an afternoon game. It wasn't the night game and then do the turnaround with daylight savings. So I still didn't get a great night of sleep, but that's just normal for me. So that's fine. But Bridget, let's start with how the Bruins are playing and how they now look after the trade deadline, because we now know this is the team. There wasn't a huge addition. They didn't go all in the way some of their rivals did. Well, you know, we can go around the league as today's show goes on and touch on what some other teams did, but they did add, some toughness, some grit. We'll see how much of an impact it makes. But they are playing better hockey, too, and that's really what's most important.
Yeah, and before we were talking about, like, now we don't have the ability to talk about external solutions now after the trade deadline. So it's like, okay, you don't have a good bumper on the power play. Well, now you got to figure out who that is on your team. We're not talking about Elias Lindholm coming in. That was one of the rumors of a trade that didn't end up happening because one of the legs of the three apparently fell apart and Getzel goes to Carolina instead. But the sexier deals did not happen. The ones that everybody wanted to talk about, speculate about, because they were actually interesting and would have been bigger shakeups, fell through. We can get to why. But at the end of the day, the very first Sunday skate we had to start our season, if you can call it that, was about Pat Maroon. We were talking a lot about adding toughness and how it wouldn't take a lot to get him. And they give up a conditional 6th-round pick, which the condition is that if Pat Maroon doesn't play a game in the playoffs, they don't get that either. So it's such a low risk, almost no risk situation that that's a no-brainer. Really, you bring in a veteran who's won several Stanley Cups and is tough. It's exactly what you're missing. Once Lucci leaves the lineup, you didn't have that really, truly, until you added Pat Maroon back.
Yeah. Pat Maroon's, you know, like you said, it's virtually no risk. They also gave up an AHL forward, Luke Toporowski, who, you know, maybe he cracks an NHL lineup, gets a call-up at some point, but his production declined this year down in Providence. Didn't seem like he had too much of an NHL future, so yeah, no problem with that deal at all. And Maroon had back surgery in early February, so that threw a wrench into maybe some of the interest or, you know, whether he would get moved, how interested would teams be, what can Minnesota get back? Ultimately, like we said, they didn't get back much, and the Bruins take him on and obviously get away from him to get healthy here, but ideally he comes back late in the regular season. You get him into a couple games and see where he's at come playoffs. You know, if he can play, then yeah, he brings some Stanley Cup experience. You mentioned he won 3 Stanley Cups in a row. 2019, obviously beating the Bruins. Sorry to bring that up, but then back-to-back ones with Tampa in 2020 and 2021. Yeah, he's physical. He's big. He still, you know, can protect the puck, hold on to him in the O-zone. He has a little bit of offense. He had 16 points in 49 games this season. So that's perfectly fine from a fourth liner.
An upgrade on the fourth line.
It's more than the Bruins have gone from a lot of their fourth liners, for sure. And they've been rotating so many guys in and out of those spots that absolutely, like, you might as well add that kind of experience. Made all the sense in the world. The trade for Andrew Peak, I'm not as much of a fan of. You know, I just think that's a bit of a project. And Don Sweeney basically acknowledged this on Friday. There's some rebuilding of his game that they have to do. He really fell out of favor in Columbus this year. He had been a regular for them, playing over 20 minutes a game for 2 years. This year is way down to 15-something and was getting healthy scratched a lot.
Yeah, he only played under 30 games so far this season because he was getting scratched, not because of an injury or anything like that.
Right, and on a team that's as bad defensively as Columbus, that's not encouraging. Yeah, so
a team that isn't, you know, they're pretty far from ready to be a playoff contender. So if you're getting scratched from that decor, it's not a good sign.
But the Bruins obviously believe there's more there than he's showing. You know, he was a second-round pick, so, like, there's been some upside. He's big, again, 6'3", physical, he hits people, he blocks shots. So you're going to have to make sure you get the best out of him. And, you know, he has 2 more years after this, so that's, if you do get more out of him, that's a plus, because now you have basically your third-pairing right-shot defender locked up for a couple years, and you have something there. If you don't get more out of him, though, and he continues to struggle, now that creates a little bit of a problem where you have that contract and you're kind of locked into that, or you're trying to move him or whatever. But I get, I know what the Bruins saw in him. I get it. Like, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, if you're going to comp him to anyone, like, he's more of a Derek Forbert-style player.
Yeah.
And who goes on IR.
And probably more naturally physical, like, more of a hitter than I think Forbert is. So, yeah. I get it. I just think there is some risk there, and probably more than I would have been willing to take.
Well, but here's the thing. You say he went out of favor in Columbus. Well, the guy that the Bruins traded to get him, Jacob Zboril, had gone out of favor in Boston. So, and I know you also traded a third round pick because Peak is more NHL ready, I guess you could say at this point. Zboril has been out of the NHL for quite a bit. Hasn't been an impactful player for Boston. So, I mean, you're trading two guys that have fallen out of favor in different organizations and hoping that they get a fresh start. It's one of those kind of deals, like new atmosphere, new start, hopefully for both guys to boost themselves up.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the return. Like you said, Zboril hasn't been able to find himself in the NHL. And, you know, it's easy to play the what if game and wonder, you know, what would have happened had he not torn his ACL a couple years ago, because it looked like he was starting to figure it out at the NHL level. He was playing pretty well at that point. That happens, and, you know, I really feel like he just hasn't been the same since. So
I agree. He was starting to play that preseason and early season that year. He was on track to earn a top six spot, like not as the extra D. Like he was on track at that point in time, but he hasn't, you know, he's come up. He has made the same mistakes and sent back down. And so it was pretty clear that in Boston, his time was already up. Like the writing was on the wall for him a while ago. So he's somebody that you're willing to move and hope that someone values him at the level that like his ceiling could be, but not what we've seen in the NHL so far.
Yeah, and the third round pick in 2027, don't care about. Like that's so far off. Not worried about it. You know, for me with Peak, though, it's more just the financial commitment of having two more years on that contract at $2.75 million. That's real third-pairing defenseman money. Like, that's...
It's not Weatherspoon money.
No. Which, by the way, they also signed him to an extension. Well-deserved, and I love that. Like, Parker Weatherspoon is the perfect third-pairing / seventh defenseman. You can play either side. He just plays a really simple, effective game, so... That made a lot of sense.
He's going to make less than half of that contract that you're talking about with Peak.
Yeah, a third, less than a third.
Yeah.
Because the other news on the blue line, and I think a big part of the reason why they went out and got Peak is that Derek Forbert's most likely done for the season. That was announced on Friday. He was put on long-term injury reserve. He's been battling injury all season. Don Sweeney said at least one of them is going to require surgery. So that's the end of his season. He's a free agent after the year. You would imagine probably the end of his time in Boston. You know, I guess we'll see, but they probably let him walk in free agency. So they did need another defenseman in that mold. So that's where Pete comes in. There are a few of those guys who got moved. Toronto loaded up on them with, like, Joel Edmondson and Ilya Lyubushkin, which, again, whatever. I think these are all depth guys who ultimately... You know, if your Stanley Cup hopes are coming down to what you get from an Andrew Peak or Joel Edmondson, you're probably already in trouble. So it's fine. But bigger picture than the individual guys, Bridget, just how do you feel about how this team stacks up? Because we did see Carolina makes big deals. You mentioned Jake Guentzel. Rangers added probably more quantity than quality. They made a bunch of deals really to improve their depth, mostly. In your division, Florida Panthers go and get Vladimir Tarasenko. Pretty big deal there. So, mentioned Toronto with depth. Just, where do the Bruins stack up? How do you feel about their chances going forward now?
Well, they're better, but they're not, like, significantly better. Like, you might not even see Peak play. So, that really means that, or if he does, you know, only a few games here and there. We're not thinking he's going to be an every day in the lineup kind of guy. So if you think about it that way, and I know Maroon's hurt right now, but once he gets healthy, he should be in the lineup every day, you would think. He's really the only guy that you added that you're going to be leaning on in the playoffs. So they got better for sure because they needed that physicality, but not like to a huge extent where it's like, where you're looking at a Jake Guentzel, where you're looking at, and so say Elias Lindholm, if they had been able to pull that off, that's when you're going, okay, that was a big move, and that really helps their top six forwards. And I think that when you watch what Vegas did and you watch what Colorado did, you feel like there's more to be desired if you're a Bruins fan watching what they were able to add. But you do understand that they didn't have a lot to move. They didn't have a way to add because of cap, because of not having the draft assets. So it's understandable that they weren't able to do anything huge. But you look at those other teams, like Vegas had a ridiculous deadline. And they are almost not even in the playoffs. They might not even make the playoffs. Somehow over the last few weeks, they've slipped to the second wild card spot.
Yeah, well, the somehow is that Mark Stone and Jack Eichel got hurt.
And other teams in the conference start playing better.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I find it interesting. Like, I was looking at Stanley Cup odds, and because standings-wise, Bruins still second in the NHL, 1 point behind the Panthers for the best record. But betting odds, they're eighth. They're eighth among Stanley Cup favorites. And there were three Eastern teams ahead of them, Florida, Carolina, Rangers, and then five from out West. I think it was Vegas, Colorado, Dallas, maybe Vancouver, and I don't know, someone else. But anyways, that feels to me like a much more accurate reflection of where they are. Like, they're probably around the eighth best team in the NHL. On paper, that makes you an underdog.
I mean, you can't argue with that. Yeah, on paper, yeah, the eighth, but they don't have Bergeron anymore. They don't have Krejci anymore. They weren't able to fill in their holes as well because they had cap issues that carried over from last season. So yeah, on paper, I don't think people would argue with you that the Leafs are better on paper. Panthers are better on paper. If everyone on Vegas is healthy, they're better on paper. Colorado. So, yeah, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, I will say I absolutely ranked them ahead of Toronto, especially after this past week with 4-1 wins.
On paper, in terms of, like, their firepower.
Sure, but that's only one part of the... Defensively and goaltending, Toronto still struggles, so...
And it's amazing to me that when they do add defensemen trade deadline after trade deadline, it never seems to be the right guy.
No.
It just never works.
It's like they're just spinning a wheel and, like, throwing a dart and being like, this defenseman. All right, let's try that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
they already
work.
Did Ilya Lyubushkin once. Like, they already had him, and then they let him go, and now they're like, yeah, we'll bring him back. Sure.
Didn't work last time, but.
Yeah. So.
The definition of insanity, Scott.
Yeah.
Which just applies to Toronto, feels like, way too often.
Yeah, it's always the same problems with them. Yeah, so right now, that's who the Bruins would face in the first round, would be Toronto. I would absolutely pick them to win that series, but then I would say, if you're looking at Florida in the second round, Bruins look like a pretty big underdog. Like, that Florida team is better, more talented, more complete than last year's Florida team. And
which is scary. It should scare Bruins fans.
Yeah, and the Bruins obviously aren't. So, we'll get into more of that, how they stack up, what we think their chances are going forward. We're going to get into Linus Ullmark as well, because there were reports that he had blocked a trade. So we'll get into that, what we think it might have been, how this works with Linus Ullmark going forward, what he had to say about it after yesterday's game. You can join in.
I think he gave maybe the most real interview we've ever gotten from him. He's a guy that doesn't usually share a lot, but you could tell he was happy to get it off his chest a little bit. So we'll definitely show you some of that.
Yeah, we'll put some of that next. You can join us, 617-779-7937. Text in 37937. Bridget's got you trending, and we'll be back after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Linus, any comment on the reports that you utilized your no-trade clause?
I'm just very happy to be here. This is the team that I want to be in. I'm very fortunate to be a part of this group. And, you know, ever since day one, I loved it here. So I'm very happy with where I am right now.
That was Linus Ullmark talking about reports that he had used his no-trade clause to block a deal. Kevin Weeks of ESPN was the first one to have that on Friday. Said on ESPN that he had heard the Bruins were close to a deal involving Ullmark and that he basically invoked his no-trade clause because of geography, is what he cited, what Kevin Weeks cited. Ullmark,
yeah, do you have to give, like, a specific, like, like, is there only a certain number of reasons that count? Or, like, can you give any reason?
No, you can give any reason.
That's what I thought. But, yeah, like, so do you have to? Like, it's definitely more than just geography.
Yeah. So, Ullmark has a 16-team no-trade clause. And I think how it works is either he had already submitted the list to the Bruins. Like, I think guys submit them before every season. The Bruins, if they thought they had a deal with a team that's on that no-trade list, they can ask Ullmark if he's willing to alter the list, waive it for this team. And if what Kevin Weeks is reporting is true, it sounds like the answer was no. He wasn't going to change his list. Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff tweeted that he heard something was close with the Los Angeles Kings, which that would make sense in terms of the geography part of it. You know, maybe Ullmark just doesn't want to go out west, which there are European players who don't want to, because East Coast, obviously a much shorter flight to their home countries, whether it's
less time change.
Yeah, whether it's them going back to visit, family visiting them, the time change you mentioned, family just watching games back home. But yeah, there's all kinds of reasons for why someone might not want to go to a certain team or city. That, you know, it could be the quality of the team, you know, is it a winning organization? You know, climate, tax laws, like, these are all
tax
things, like,
laws.
I swear to God.
I know. Like,
that's what makes the Florida Panthers,
I know,
exciting.
I was going to say, like, hey, let's go play in Florida.
Yeah. That you get sunshine and no income tax. Like, that's why guys want to go to Florida.
I'm in. Scott, let's take this show on the road.
Hey, I will be. I'll be down in Florida a couple weeks when the Bruins are down there.
Yeah, that's right. Can I come with you?
I'm looking forward to some sunshine.
Yeah.
Which means I'll probably just hit, like, rain every day. So
I don't know if your skin can handle that much sunshine.
No, yeah.
You're Irish, right? So.
Yeah, I'm going to park. I'll go for, like, a nice 10-minute walk along the boardwalk, and then I got to get back inside.
I like to imagine you wearing, like, that kind of sunblock that's, like, almost, like, whitish purple and it's just covering your whole face. Just, like, got to be careful with the sun, guys. That's you.
Yeah. All right, but before we get more into Ullmark, I want to go to Marin Watertown. obviously our weekly leadoff caller. I have some questions about the new acquisitions. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning to both of you. I think we somewhat know where Pat Maroon will get slated in, but I'm more curious about Peak and where he might get slated in defensively with this group and who could potentially, you know, find themselves maybe viewing the game from elsewhere. And when Razor does get in, you need to ask him, please, what the over-under that Christian Fourier will actually call in to Sunday Skate.
Oh, I was told that he was going to call in, and I was told by the producer of that show, my friend Nick, and I was like, "You think he remembers?" At first I was like, "I don't know if he's even going to be up. It's daylight savings."
Right. I was going to say, I can never tell you what the excuse is going to. It's going to be, "Oh, I lost track of the daylight savings." Yeah.
Bridget, unless you made sugar cookies, there's no way you're going to get a call.
Yeah, you have to bribe him to do anything like that. Exactly. Yeah. But he did. Yeah. He was mad. That Razor came back at him a little bit. So I think they played some of that for him on his show, and he was like, he was mad that Razor was going at him.
Yeah.
And just one more question. Do you think we've seen the last of Sidney Crosby in a Penguins uniform? You know, he didn't mince any words about his demeanor after, you know, the Penguins traded his best friend. Was not very good, and he, you know, didn't seem as engaged in the game yesterday as he's been throughout the season. He's maintained a really high level of play, and I wonder if he's starting to think about, you know, do I want to deal with pretty much a full rebuild at this point in time? So
especially if they
get
rid of Sullivan too. Like, I've heard that they might fire that, like, his head coach, and that he's been with forever, and that would probably factor in as well.
Yeah. Then thanks, Maria. Let's start there, and then we'll circle it back to the Bruins. It's been two tough games for the Penguins since Thursday night. While the trade was going down, they lost 6-0, and then they come into Boston, and, you know, first period competitive 0-0, but they end up losing 5-1. Clearly a team that's out of it this year. They sold, sold a big piece in Jake Guentzel, as Maria mentioned, has been a longtime line mate of Sidney Crosby and a close friend. Crosby had said before that what happened with Guentzel ultimately would not affect his own future. And he has made comments in the past about being a Penguin for life, and he's going to retire a Penguin, which I still think is the most likely course, but this is going to be a huge offseason because, to Maria's point, he's not going to endure a complete rebuild. Like,
he could Tom Brady it. I don't see why he would. Like, it's got to be in consideration for him, right? You spend most of your career with this one team that you've had success with and won championships with, and then you think to yourself, I only have two good years left. I got to go somewhere else. I'm not happy here. I could see him pulling a Tom Brady.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. It seems very unlikely to me. Like, he is so ingrained in that organization and that city. It would be...
So is Brady. That's why it's a good comp.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, and I do think Crosby has probably several more years. He is still playing at a very high level this season. So, very interesting to think about. My guess is... He's going to see what they do this offseason. They're going to try to do a quick retool on the fly and be a playoff team next year. Now, that's also what they tried to do this year.
Yeah.
They took a big swing with the Erik Karlsson trade. And, you know, Erik Karlsson's actually played pretty well this season, but overall, obviously, that team mix has just been off. They haven't had depth. They just...
Their goaltending has been...
It's been up and down at times. It's been solid this year, but yeah, it's.
But you, like, it's not playoff, like, playoff run, like, long, like, Stanley Cup championship run, solid. It's not that.
Yeah.
And that was another player that, this isn't a Pittsburgh Penguins show, but to go back to another trade that Crosby wasn't happy about, like, Marc-Andre Fleury leaving, that was his best friend at the time. Like, he was not happy that Fleury was not back with the Penguins too. So
yeah, these guys all they get used to that. Like, they know it's part of the business.
You're I'm sorry, but
I mean, he's had Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang as his teammates for, what, 18,
yeah, but
Marc-Andre
Fleury is one of my favorite human beings, so I would have been devastated if Marc-Andre Fleury was my best friend and he got traded away, which that is my dream, is to have Marc-Andre Fleury as my best friend. But
that's also why the Wild aren't trading him, because Bill Guerin is also, like, best friends with Marc-Andre Fleury.
He's the best.
And he just doesn't want to move him.
Every day there's just a video of him doing something hilarious that he's a nice person, too. Sometimes he does some things you're like, okay, that's actually heartwarming. One day someone called him old, so he showed up to practice with a cane instead of a stick and was using a cane as his goalie stick, which was hilarious. Anyway, this isn't Pittsburgh Penguins hour, yeah. But
so let's get into Maria's question about where peak especially slots. So Maroon, yes, we know he's going to be part of the fourth line mix, most likely left wing. So, you know, either Lauko draws out or Lauko flips over to the right side, which he's played plenty. Maybe Brazeau draws out. I think the most interesting thing there will be whether a fourth line with Pat Maroon on one wing and Justin Brazeau on the other would work, because you're down a lot of foot speed if that's the line. Those are two big bodies for sure that can get to inside ice, protect the puck, all that. But two guys who are on the slower side by NHL standards. On defense with Peak, I think Jim Montgomery did say he wants to get him into games pretty quickly. He also said, you know, they might want to get him at least one practice first, which maybe that rules out Monday because the Bruins are off today. They don't have practice on Sunday. They'll have a morning skate Monday. I don't know if that'll be enough to get him ready for a game Monday night, or otherwise you're looking at probably Thursday in Montreal for his debut. But I think you're probably going to see some rotation with Kevin Shattenkirk. Shattenkirk has rotated in and out quite a bit anyways this season. And, you know, right now the Bruins have balance on defense. They have four left shots, four right shots. So I think you'll see some rotation in both spots. You saw Parker Weatherspoon draw out of the lineup on Saturday with Hampus Lindholm coming back, which was another big development, you know, worth getting to at some point today, because you saw him have some jump and make an impact right away. He had two assists.
Yeah, he had a really nice play on the DeBrusk goal to set that up. And yeah. And you know, it was more like, you also, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like, when he was out of the lineup and you were seeing where they were deficient, you're like, oh, I bet Hampus Lindholm could have made that play. And when you have him back, it's, sometimes people take him for granted. I know some people get on him a little bit. I tend to not. I know he's got a really high ceiling. He doesn't play up to it at times. But in terms of guys you trust back there, it's like McAvoy, Carlo, Lindholm would be the three that anybody should say they're most comfortable with, that make the fewest mistakes, solid defensively, and Lindholm is great in transition. And so having him back and healthy is huge.
Yeah, and putting him back with Carlo gives you that shutdown pairing again that, you know, on Saturday they used against the Crosby line. Maria mentioned, you know, Crosby was pretty quiet. Well, maybe, yeah, he's not fully engaged or he's out of it or whatever. Part of it's also that Lindholm and Carlo is a really good defensive pairing. The Coyle line with Marchand and DeBrusk also got a lot of that matchup. So now you have that pairing that can handle those tough assignments, and that frees up, you know, whether it's Grizzlick and McAvoy or Lauri, wherever he's in the lineup, you can get your more offensive defensemen into more offensive situations, into more favorable matchups, and Lindholm and Carlo can handle those tough minutes. So, yeah, it's a huge, huge to have him back.
Yeah, and he was one of Sweeney's best trade deadline moves, the sign and extend.
Yeah.
That was huge, and he's been here now for, what is it, this is his third year?
Yeah, they got him, yeah, deadline of 22, yeah.
He's been impactful. I know he had a tough playoffs last year, but he was playing with a fractured foot, so it explains some of the hesitancy you saw in his game. But to go to the forward stuff, like, he's on long-term IR. I wonder how much pain he was playing through and how much of this was, like, brand new, but I feel like it's been around for a while. Like you said, it's two different injuries, but I think they were having him play through, like, somewhat significant of an injury to need the surgery. And You could tell that he wasn't 100% himself either. I know we were saying his play declined. Well, that's probably a big part of the reason was because he was not as mobile and he was in pain or what have you. So, I know people get on him as well, but that's a good enough reason that he was playing poorly. And
yeah, we have a text here from 508. Can you explain this team's obsession with Derek Forbert? They let him play through what we now know was multiple season-ending injuries despite increasingly poor play. He goes on a little bit. But
yeah, no, but yeah. This second part is also good. I'm infuriated by the trade for basically you're replacing Forbert with the opposite-handed version of him for 2 years, like a worse version of him for 2 years.
Yeah, and then I mean, this is a good question. Why not put him on LTIR a month earlier and use the $3 million to make an earlier trade or bring up Beecher and, you know, and his face-off percentage? The money part is worth touching on because all along we were saying Bruins have no cap space. Anyone that they're going to bring in, they have to move money out. Well, when you put Forbert on long-term IR and his season's going to be over, you now have $3 million to use. And with the way, pretty much every big deal that got made, there was retained salary somewhere. Some 50%, a couple up to 75%, where you get a third team involved to take part of it. So you can get a really good player with under $3 million in cap space. So that's fair. Now, the Bruins still don't have many assets. They don't have a pick in the first three rounds this year. They don't have a great prospect pool. So that's still part of it. And to get to get salary retained, you often have to give up an extra pick somewhere. So the asset part of it was still a hurdle for this team. The money part of it, yeah, Forbert on LTIR freed up money you needed in order to bring someone in. And they end up using it on Andrew Peak, who is $2.75 million. So that's basically, you know, $3 million for Forbert, $2.75 million for Peak. And, you know, not as impactful of a trade as I think a lot of people would have wanted.
Well, I mean, my dad called me and goes, who is this? Like, who is this person? Like, it's not a big name. It's not, and it's also not somebody that was on anyone's radar until it happened.
Yeah, his name had been out there for a long time. It was him and actually Jesper Bogqvist's brother, Adam Bogqvist, in Columbus. They were probably going to move one of them. But, yeah, I didn't put him on when I did my list of deadline targets for WEI.com. I didn't put him on there because I thought if the Bruins were trading for a defenseman, get someone who you know is more impactful than that. As for why they played Forbert so long, I think they felt like they owed it to themselves and to him to see where he could get to by the trade deadline. If there was a chance that he was going to be able to play through it, get a little healthier, have it heat, whatever, and, you know, get his game back, they wanted to give him all the runway that they could for him to do that. Because, again, it was a long time ago, and I know people forget this or maybe didn't even notice, but Forbert actually was playing pretty well to start the season. He had a pretty good start this year. Like, for Forbert, you know, for what he is, he was doing his job well. And then
weren't you on the Forbert train earlier in the year? You're, like, out there tweeting all his analytics.
I don't know if I was on the Forbert train.
Well, you were like, hey, look at these analytics. These are, everybody should look at these, and Forbert's doing good.
He's still, even now, has been on the ice for fewer high danger chances on a per 60 minute basis than any other Bruins defenseman, which is hard to believe when you see how he was struggling, especially in recent weeks. But statistically, like, that remains true.
I guess the better person to ask this question to, can you explain the team's Derek Forbert obsession, would be Razor. Because Razor, when we brought up Forbert's role last week, the week before, like, he even said you could probably get value for him in a trade, which is, like, obviously when he's injured, that sounds kind of crazy. But Razor and other goalies probably look at this a different way and more similarly to the way the Bruins look at it, which is, like, his qualities that he does have defensively are something that maybe people don't understand. I don't know. We'll have Razor speak to the forward stuff, hopefully, when he gets in. He texted us his daughter's game went to overtime. So good luck to her. Hopefully she, and I don't think she's a goalie. So
yeah, we'll have to get the full breakdown when Razor gets in. But yeah, look with Forbert, it was that they didn't have to make this decision earlier than trade deadline time. Like, I guess if you want to say, had they done this earlier, you know, could they have been a player for Chris Tanev, who went to Dallas? But again, you're giving up premium assets to get a Chris Tanev. So it ultimately, that was the biggest hurdle, was, you know, are they going to give up another first round pick when they've already been? Now, I know Tanev didn't go for first round pick, but Calgary did get a young player that they really liked. So you could match it with that. You know, who would that be? Is that Mason Lorai, who's playing well for you right now?
I think he was off the table completely.
I think he probably should have been. But, like, that's who Calgary might have been looking for, knowing they're also losing Noah Hanifin. You imagine, like, they'd want a defenseman. They got another one from Vegas that they liked in the Noah Hanifin trade. So you probably would have to give them a young defenseman that they liked. And if you're looking at the Bruins prospect pool and young players, that's Mason Lorai. Like, that's,
yeah, that's really the only defenseman prospect that I can think of that, yeah, people would be interested in at that level to get you a Hanifin.
Right.
And Vegas.
Or even Tanev. Like, yeah. Tanev, you were going to have to give up, at least, whether it was a first-round pick or a top prospect, there was going to have to be one, you know, pretty high-end asset in there. So I think they wanted to give Forbert a chance, and ultimately he wasn't able to get there. And the injury does end up being season-ending, and so now he's on LTIR, and they made a depth move for Peak to round out their defense. They go 8 deep now, which we know Don Sweeney likes having that depth. That's important because every year in the playoffs, someone's going to get hurt on the blue line. It's just almost a guarantee, you know. But there are still questions of, like, is your top four good enough? You have guys who can rotate in and out on the third pair, no problem.
Well, I guess that depends on your idea of if Grizzlick is strong enough,
exactly,
in the top four.
Or if Mason Lorai gets there. But, you know, do you try him with Charlie McAvoy at some point here down the stretch? So, lots to get to. We got sidetracked to defense. We still have more Ullmark to get into.
Yeah, wait. We started this segment talking about Ullmark about 1 minute, and then we took Maria's call, and we forgot.
Pretty much just the cut coming in was Ullmark.
Yeah. Right. Well, we do want to talk about him, though.
Yeah.
I have more to say about some of the comments he made.
Well, this is the benefit of having 2 hours. We can, you know, Stuckett gets bumped back.
We'll
it's
get
okay
there.
If Razor's daughter's game goes to overtime, that's fine. Like, we're still going to have him. So, call in with your thoughts on all of this, on what the Bruins did at the deadline, how you feel about them now, what you think of the Ullmark report of him reportedly blocking a trade. Call in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We'll be back after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
The trade deadline is over, and that put all that behind.
No, thank God, yes. No, it's tough. I mean, you try to act tough beforehand. You know, you don't want to show anything. You want to show any emotions, kind of like in a playoff situation as well, but it is tough on players. And this is the first time when I had to go through and actually being rumored about. I've always felt safe, you know, at different. But then once it actually starts picking up more and more and more, you hear those outside noises. It takes a toll on you, and then there's this emotional part of it, and then you start thinking about your family, and then there's all these questions that you just don't have any answers to. So yes, I am very happy that it's over with, and I'm very glad and happy to be here.
There's more from Linus Allmark after Saturday's game, where, by the way, he made a season-high 38 saves. So, big game for him. Little extra long goalie hug with Swayman afterwards. You could tell Swayman was saying something to him, and you could see, like, in the close-up video that Swayman was, like, pointing to the ice as if to say, like, you stayed here or you're still here or something like that. And Allmark said Swayman had some really nice words for him during that hug. He also talked about how on Friday he had a conversation with Patrice Bergeron. He said Charlie McAvoy sent him a nice text that meant a lot to him. So clearly, Linus Allmark very happy to still be here. I think the Bruins players all very happy to still have him. Jim Montgomery said after the game that he was glad Allmark's still a Bruin. No doubt he's popular in that room and loved in that room. Obviously, the question is, you know, are the Bruins a better team with him still here, or would there have been a trade that might have made them better?
It depends who they were going to get from, I say, Los Angeles, which is the team that it sounded like was the most likely destination for him. What would they have added there?
So there's maybe a couple targets. We don't know, first off. This is just speculation. I didn't see anything reported on what the return might have been. But if you look at center, there's Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has not worked out very well in L.A. They made a big trade to get him from Winnipeg over the summer.
Yeah, he's not doing great on my fantasy team either.
Yeah, I would probably just drop him in fantasy.
Yeah, no, he ain't been playing.
That I would not have liked. I would not take that chance on Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is talented, is still pretty young, but there's a reason things weren't working in Winnipeg. There's a reason they haven't worked in L.A. That's just...
feels like too much of a risk to take.
Yeah, and he signed for 6 more years, I think. Like, that's a lot. I would not have loved that. Two players...
Plus, isn't he someone that people talk about as they, like... not necessarily the best guy in the room, or like there might be issues with that.
Yeah, people, I don't know if there's been anything concrete, but people speculate about that. Earlier this season, Drew Doughty, the captain of the Kings, had some comments about, I forget exactly what the wording was, but it basically calling out some of his teammates saying, you know, there's guys in here who think they're good or think we're good and they're kidding themselves, something like that. And there was a lot of speculation that people thought he was maybe talking about Dubois,
and that he's kind of more of an individualistic guy, not focused on team goals, more on his own and stuff like that. I've heard, and that's not just with LA; that goes back to before. So that just seems like too big of a risk, and for a questionable upgrade, right? Because when we talked to Razor about trading Allmark, it was like it has to be a discernible, non-risky, I guess you could say, upgrade, like Elias Lindholm.
Yeah. Now, a couple players in L.A. that would interest me a little more, whose names kind of sort of popped up a couple times. Adrian Kempe, really good winger, 51 points in 58 games this season. That would interest me. I believe he has another year after this. Matt Roy, really good right shot defenseman, top four guy. Now, exactly how that fits when you already have McAvoy and Carlo on your right side, I mean... the easy answer is it just gives you maybe the best right side in the NHL. But how the minutes would divvy up would be interesting. But he's a really good player who would interest me. He is also a pending free agent, though. So, you know, would there be an extension or how would that work? But, yeah, so there are a couple guys there that could have been interesting. We know New Jersey checked in on Linus Allmark, too. They checked in on every goalie and ultimately got rid of their two goalies that they had, and they brought in Jake Allen and Kaapo Kakkonen, which I think it's pretty underwhelming for what they were aiming for. But they
at least made a move at the position they knew they needed to do something about, like take a risk, try something new.
Yeah, and it probably gives them, you know, they get a little bit of time to evaluate those guys and figure out if they want them part of the plan going forward. I still think they're going to be looking for a bigger upgrade in the offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if they circle back on both Jacob Markstrom in Calgary and Linus Ullmark.
Wonder if Linus Ullmark would have vetoed a New Jersey trade.
Well,
I don't want to live in Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, we just don't know what his list is. At least you would think that would fit geographically. Like, that's another East Coast team, so maybe not. Maybe they're not on his list. Who knows? But
I mean, he wants to be on an actual legit cup contender this year. Like, going to L.A., that's not what would happen. Like, he wants to win a Stanley Cup.
And I mean, the Kings are a pretty good team.
Yeah, I just, I don't,
like,
I think
they're
knows,
in a loaded conference, but yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think he knows that he in Boston, first of all, he's got such good friends here that definitely factors in. But in his mind, this team gives him the best chance to win the Stanley Cup, I think. I don't think he looks around the league and goes, I'd rather be on that team. He doesn't. He wants to be with the Bruins. He said that. I think he feels his fit is good here. Culture is good here. I don't think he ever wanted to go anywhere else. So maybe it's fortunate for him that potentially the Devils and the Kings were the teams that were interested and were probably on his no trade list, so that he didn't have to, because say they wanted to trade him somewhere that he said he would go to, they don't have to ask him. He doesn't get a chance to veto. So the fact that it was one of those teams, first of all, it's really awkward conversation to have. And you could tell by the sound of Ullmark's comments, he had some uncomfortable conversations recently, it sounded like. But he might not be here if it was, say, you know, I don't know, name another team that needs a goalie that might be on, might not be considered one of those 16 teams that he didn't want to go to. And they wouldn't even have had to have a conversation with about it. They could have just sent him out.
Yeah, I mean, I think goaltending's still a question in color. Like, if you're looking at contenders, Colorado still has questions there. They improved everything else about that team and are just going to hope one of their goalies gets hot enough come playoffs, or, you know, at least doesn't shoot them in the foot. But yeah, lots more to get to here. We're coming to the end of hour one. Hour two coming up. You can call in 617-779-7937. I have some thoughts on, can the Bruins win the cup with Linus Ullmark staying put? And should they rotate goalies in the playoffs? Because that is now the big question, now that you know you're keeping Ullmark and Swayman together, at least through the end of the season. So we will get to that right after this break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.